the Public News Service DOAA Newscast, December the 18th, 2023. I'm Mike Clifford. Montana Conservation Voters Education Fund is upping its education efforts, adding field offices around the state, and putting boots on the ground even in Montana's frigid winter months.
The Montana Conservation Voters Education Fund has historically focused on issues like public land access and renewable energy. Now, it is expanding efforts to get that message out in Billings. MCV's political director, Molly Bell, says it will use its newest field office to start important community conversations about climate and Montana's cherished natural resources.
Out in the community, talking to neighbors to really launch a conversation in communities between neighbors about how we can protect our clean air and water, create good paying jobs and lower energy costs.
In addition to knocking on thousands of doors, field organizers will include mail and digital ads focusing on conservation policy in Yellowstone, Gallatin, and Flathead counties. I'm Mark Moran.
Meantime, the latest research finds the Gulf Stream has warmed faster than the global ocean over the past two decades and has shifted toward the Atlantic coast.
Scientists say the ocean current, which carries tropical water up the eastern seaboard, has warmed 2 degrees Fahrenheit since 2001 and could be pushing warmer water into the Gulf of Maine. Robert Todd with the Woods Hole Oceanographic Institution says years of data collection confirm what climate models predicted.
Long-term ocean observing really is important, and we need to keep making those observations so we can understand what's actually happening.
Todd says ocean temperatures are steadily rising as a result of human activities. He says the findings could determine how changes in the Gulf Stream will impact Maine's coastal industries. The Gulf of Maine, which stretches from Cape Cod in Massachusetts to Nova Scotia, Canada, is already considered one of the fastest warming ocean regions on the planet. The data collected is shared in real time with scientists around the world. For Public News Service, I'm Catherine Carley.
And groups that fight climate change are praising the EPA new rules, which aim to reduce the amount of methane leaked into the atmosphere from oil and gas operations by 80%. Oil and gas companies will have to inspect pipelines for leaks and phase out routine burning of methane. Janessa Goldbeck is a Marine veteran and the CEO of the Vet Voice Foundation.
The world is destabilized by extreme weather and resource reduction. That creates a national security prerogative for us here at home. And as a leader of a veterans organization, we think it's our moral imperative to step up and do everything we can to ensure that we're reducing emissions.
The rule allows the EPA to vet data from third-party groups that monitor the atmosphere for methane leaks. The EPA estimates that in 2030 alone, the expected reductions will be equivalent to the annual emissions from 28 million gasoline-powered cars. This is Public News Service. Next, a new study recommends that state agencies change their methods to address child labor trafficking.
Researchers at the University of Maryland School of Social Work surveyed child welfare and juvenile justice professionals and found that 20% report they have worked with people under age 18 who were coerced or controlled by another person or entity for their labor, and over 40% expect to do so in the future. Trafficked children are typically forced to do things like domestic service, child care, food industry, and retail work, as well as forced criminal activity such as stealing or selling drugs. Lead study author Neil Mallon says finding hard data to estimate the scale of the problem is difficult.
Unlike sex trafficking, which is defined as a form of child sexual abuse, labor trafficking is not defined in that sort of way within our child abuse law. So it makes the enforcement of which agency is responsible for investigating, identifying, providing services to those children a little unclear.
Researchers recommend the state update child abuse laws to define labor trafficking as maltreatment and forced criminal behavior as labor trafficking. Brett Pivato reporting.
And Senator Josh Hawley has drawn fire for his questioning of the first Muslim American judicial nominee.
Hawley, along with fellow Republican Senators Tom Cotton and Ted Cruz, posed what the Council on American Islamic Relations called irrelevant and hostile questions to the Democratic nominee about Israel, Palestine, and the Middle East. CARE's National Deputy Director Edward Mitchell denounced the three senators for their treatment of President Joe Biden's historic judicial nominee, Adil Mungi, during his confirmation hearing.
Singling out a Muslim judicial nominee and forcing him to answer gotcha questions about the Middle East simply because of his faith or because of his tangential connections to Muslims who comment on the Middle East is un-American and Islamophobic.
Senator Dick Durbin of Illinois presided at the hearing and said Republican senators have reached a new low, hurling unfounded accusations of anti-Semitism at a historic Muslim American judicial nominee today. He read out a letter from the National Council of Jewish Women noting their endorsement of Mungi's nomination. Farah Siddiqui reporting.
And finally, from our Mike Moen, as Minnesota school districts near the halfway point of their academic year, plans are taking shape to study the effectiveness of no-cost meals for all students.
In recent months, schools have started implementing so-called universal lunches after getting legislative approval this past spring. Supporters say providing free breakfast and lunch, no matter a student's family income, reduces stigma and can boost classroom participation. Hunger Solutions Minnesota has received a federal grant to measure how this approach is faring. The group's associate director, Rachel Holmes, says an undertaking like this needs attention and feedback.
It's the first time we're doing this. There's some things that might need to be worked out. We want to make sure that the program is reaching everybody, that it's working for everybody.
This is Mike Clifford, and thank you for starting your week with Public News Service, member and listener supported. Hear us on interesting radio stations, your favorite podcast platform. Find our trust indicators at publicnewsservice.org.